It's Wednesday. It's on fires.
It's I was walking down the road today, looking for another way to ease my mind and help my living.
And help my living. It's Real Talk. I'm back with you on day 317 in a row of Mark Pyer's Real Talk. And I have two very special guests with me today. We're here with Betty Wong and with Emily Smith
Calvick
from Stage to Startups. And we're here today to talk about entrepreneurship. We're here to talk about going after something, whatever part of your life you're in, but especially the people who are maybe midway through their life and they're not satisfied with where they are. They have a really good idea. It could be very challenging to go after something when you're at that position in your life. So I wanted to talk to them about it because they're championing products, businesses, people who are going for it. And I just wanted to get some perspective on it. I'm going to be on a panel on the 21st with them, and I'm very excited about that. So today, let's just get into some things.
Okay. Well, thanks very much, Mark, for inviting us. And what I want to share is that Stage 2 Startups is for grown-ups who want to become founders. And we're one of the few organizations in all of the United States that's focusing on helping grown-ups, people with experience, to become founders of anything. Actually, it could be a nonprofit, it could be a for-profit. It's really to have a different spin on your life. And we find that it's really exciting. There's so many people that we find have great ideas. And we can't help but think that the more people know about these great ideas, the more they will advance their idea and get followers and get believers and get customers. And so that's why we're here with Mark. That's why we started a blog called Startups by Grownups. And we're looking forward to talking more to Mark about what his experience has been like working at Berkshire Hathaway and also becoming an entrepreneur and a podcaster. Like, what has that been like, juggling all of that and being a dad, too?
It's interesting. That's a good question. And I like you mentioned the experience, and this we'll maybe get into a little bit later on, but and you mentioned this when we first were talking about how when you're in your 30s and 40s, you bring a whole different level experience to a business, to a startup. As you know, the younger guy who's out of college has a lot of really great ideas, but he hasn't gone through the ups and the downs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the problem. Most people don't know the downs yet, and they're just like full force, but they don't realize, look, you need to be willing to go for it, but you have to have felt a little bit of that pain in the process to have the real experience.
Well, that's absolutely true. Not only do people with experience bring a lot of exposure to working on teams, to executing ideas, but they also have the ability to juggle different types of staff and juggling older staff as well as younger staff. And if you're a millennial, not that I don't love millennials, but millennials usually don't have the experience because when you're in school, you're treated as a student. When you come right out of school, you have a very new type of life, a very fresh approach, which can bring lots of ideas. But we find people with experience can have great ideas too, because they bring all that experience and they can encounter lots of people who can help them on their teams. So it's not only experience, but it's also contacts,
yeah,
right?
That's a very good point.
I think the thing with older entrepreneurs is that they have probably a little more self-awareness of what they're good at, what they're not good at, what they like, they don't like. And then, to the earlier point, they have the networks that they can go out and find the people to fill in the gaps.
That's
and that
big
really
point.
Gives them an advantage, which is why we found in the research that businesses started by older entrepreneurs tend to be significantly more successful.
That's interesting right there. Well, and that brings up the big point here is if you're hiring somebody and they have a huge role of contacts that they can, you're trying to build money at the beginning. You're trying to raise funding. You're trying to get people to have an interest in your product. And if you have a guy or a girl who's on your staff who can make those calls for you and get eyes on you right off the bat, you're saving time and money. Saving time and money by having someone like that with experience. It's a very, very good point.
Yeah, absolutely. We found that 52% of all of the startups in America actually were started by people 45 and older. So contrary
wow.
to popular expectations. It's not just millennials that are starting companies. And interestingly enough, 26% of the people are 55 and older. So 45 and older for over half, 55 and older for a quarter of all of the startups in America.
And that's fabulous. More likely to stay in business 5 years down the road.
Really, that's a stat as well.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So it just shows that older entrepreneurs, they not only have a great idea frequently coming from their life experience, they see a gap, they want to fill it, and they have the resources and the experience to make it come to life and to make it happen.
You know what, I'm curious if you agree with me on this, but I can sense based on those stats that these older entrepreneurs also have the stick-to-itiveness and the ability to not give up. Right? The reason they're successful is because younger entrepreneurs, it's this whole immediacy thing. I want it right away. Oh, you call me, you better call right back. Oh, I didn't succeed today, I quit tomorrow. Where an older entrepreneur says, you know what? Nothing happens overnight. You got to work for it. You got to get up every day and keep pushing. And that's why maybe those stats are pushing, you know, the older entrepreneurs. They have the experience, they're seasoned, but they're also willing to keep going.
Well, also a lot of their ideas actually take time. So many of your scientific or entrepreneurs, they actually have been scientists or engineers. They know that their projects will take a long time. So anybody who's doing a startup in the health field, for instance, they have to get FDA approval. They have to have tests done. They have to show results. So there's a lot of entrepreneurs out there who know that it will take a long time to launch a product successfully or a company successfully.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny, I quickly, because I want to hear, mm-hmm. I came up with, it's not a scientific formula, it's my formula to success, okay? It's not talent, it's not a good product. It's a good product or talent plus time. People always think, oh, I have a good product, I'm going to get there. No, it's effort plus time
and
the
people.
Product. And people, yeah,
and
that's how you
people.
Get your role. Yeah,
and
you
grit.
Need all of it.
The grit that you
the
keep
grit.
The grit.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
absolutely. But I think it's most people think, oh, I got a good product, I'm going to get there tomorrow. No. You know, I got a great product with the Beat Seat. We've been at this for, I invented it in 13. I patented it, but we haven't been pushing for more than a year and a half. And we're still pushing. We're still trying to create awareness. And the product is amazing. That's why I know nothing good happens overnight.
Well, tell us a little bit more about the Beat Seat and how it changed from the gig box to the Beat Seat.
And how you started with the idea. I'd like to talk the whole history.
So here's how it all started. The first, I was doing a show with a gentleman at a place called the Georgetown Saloon. This is a club in Reading, Connecticut, once a month. I was doing a residency there. I had just retired from being an MTV music artist, and I said, I'm going to become a real estate agent. We had our first child, and we wanted to figure out a way to keep my wife home with the kids. Okay, and how do I do that as a musician? Now, I've always said, you're either Bono, John Mayer, or you're broke. There's no in-betweens. You know what I mean? As a musician, it's like you're someone or you're no one. And so at a certain point, I said to myself, yeah, I've got 150 songs no one's ever heard in the history of time, but no one cares. And the only thing I can do is create something in the real estate business. I can go and do something unique there. I have a building background. My father's a builder. My brother's a builder. My mother's an interior designer. My sister-in-law owns a kitchen cabinet company. Like, it goes on and on. The family is all in the construction business. So when I was traveling on the road as an MTV music artist, I would be home in between renovating homes, building homes with my dad. So I had 12, 13 years of construction experience. So when I went into the real estate business, I said, okay, here's differentiation. I'm not just a realtor. I'm a builder. I'm a realtor builder. I'm giving you free advice when we go into. So again, this is where entrepreneurship starts to come into play.
Right.
I say to myself, everyone's a realtor, but how many people have the ability to share with you how much things cost? Mm-hmm. When you go through a house, how much a renovation will cost? And yes, you know what? The quality of this house is not what you think, you know, because I could see when someone is really just thrown it together or with someone really cares about a product or a project. And so these are little things that my clients were getting as advantages or value for me at the beginning. About 3-4 years in, I'm starting to do some shows again, and I do this residency. And I have this gentleman playing with me on a cajon. Have you seen the cajon yet?
Yes.
The cajon is a box you sit on, you bend over to play it. And he's playing with me, and it sounds like we're a band. It's just the two of us. Mm-hmm. Sounds like we're a full band, and I'm loving it. And he's a really talented drummer. He couldn't make a show. He calls up. He says, look, I got – he was actually Jose Feliciano's drummer for 25 years. And he said, Jose got a show. and I can't be at your show. I said, you're gonna pass on me to go play with Jose Feliciano? What were you thinking? So I'm like, okay, what do I do? And I couldn't find a backup. So I said, I guess I'm just gonna build myself a cajon. I want to be able to kick it while I play because I really loved what we were doing. It sounded so full. So I built this cajon for myself. And the moment I built it, the moment I sat on it with my guitar, I realized this isn't designed for me. It's not designed for a guitar player. It's underneath you.
Right.
You have to bend over to access it. What am I going to kick it backwards? I start thinking to myself, like, all these things. I'm thinking solution to problem. I'm like, I'm going to kick it backwards? And I want to be able to play shows all alone. I don't want to have to hire a drummer. I want to be able to put on this show that sounds like it's all me, but a full band. And so in a moment, literally a split second, I said, well, what about something that's like a horse? Wider at the back, more narrow at the front, so my legs aren't like this. I'm actually sitting like I would be in the perfect chair. Then I started saying to myself, you know, I've never sat in a good chair to play guitar. Mm-hmm. I played for 10 years all over this country. I don't know if I ever found a comfortable seat. You're in one of these stools up like this. Mm-hmm. You're in some weird dinner chair, never in a comfortable seat, so you're ready to just jam. And so that was number two, is I wanted to create the perfect seat. So now I have the perfect seat. I have the ability to add percussion with my feet. And this is the third takeaway. This only works if I could do every single thing I was able to do with my hands prior to inventing this. I want to be able to do every single thing I do with my hands. What I see with a lot of guitar players now is they smack their guitar when they play to make percussion.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds great. But you're sacrificing what you do with your hands by smacking. You're not strumming your guitar, you're smacking it. So you're losing an effect, essentially. Mm-hmm. Now I'm doing every single thing I've ever done with my hands, and I'm creating a drum kit sound with my feet. And so it's the solution, the ultimate solution to a problem for a solo musician. And I built one. Immediately, I built 5, 6, 7 of them just to perfect it. And as soon as I did, I realized this is something I got to start a patent process. And I've had multiple ideas prior to this one that I didn't act on that came to market. And I just know whenever I think of something great, I'm putting it out into the universe. And I said to myself, I just did it again with the beat seat. At the time, it was the gig box. And I got to patent this because someone else is going to take my idea if I don't do it. So I just went full force. And at the time, as a just starting out realtor, I just stopped writing music and I'm just starting out. It's very difficult to be doing all these things. But when you know you have something, you do it no matter what. You have to do it. And so we start the patent process. We figure out nobody else has thought of this, which is great. I get the patent. And then that's when I said, okay, and this is the crazy thing. Real estate was actually going pretty well for me. So I wasn't, when I got the patent, I was like, oh great, I got my patent. I wasn't like, I got my patent, let me get up. And what I've been doing for a year and a half, I didn't get up and do that the day I got my patent. I should have. But I was comfortable in my comfort. And I always think people are afraid to get out of their comfort zone. And you can never find anything better unless you get out of that comfort zone.
Is that why Laura joined you? So that you could have more help selling the beach seat, so you can manage the real estate?
Well, I'll tell you how Laura got involved. So,
and that's your wife.
That's my wife, yes.
Right.
So Laura's brilliant, and she's extremely effective with getting through to people. And I don't know, I'll give you a good example. I tried to get through to a company, I think it was Guitar Center, for like 6 months. I tried calling, tried emailing. Nobody calls me back. 2 days after I told her I was trying to get in touch, she got the guy who buys drums and guitar. I was like, how do you do this? But somehow she's able to navigate through. I don't know if it's she just has a way about the way she speaks to people, but she's really, really talented at it. And the best thing about this is, so I'm pushing, you know, I got my real estate business all day. I'm doing Real Talk for This World, started on December 31st. That's a whole other story we'll get into. And then the beat seat. So how does one person have time to do all of this?
Right.
I don't sleep very much. I build the
beat
seats right now.
You're a serial entrepreneur all at once is what you're saying.
I'm a serial entrepreneur all at once. Yeah. So basically I'm trying, because I have this philosophy. Okay, I'm 41. I'll sleep when I'm 55. You know what I mean? Right now, I want to get it out there because the world is waiting for the beat seat. The world needs it. There are people with special needs that need a connection that just didn't exist until the beat seat, but they don't know it exists.
So you found a new purpose for the beat seat besides just helping guitarists. Yes,
yeah.
Talk about that. How you found a new market for it.
And this is where Laura gets involved. So my daughter has a birthday party, and one of her friends happens to have autism. And they show up to the house, and I just happen to have 5 or 6 beat seats scattered around. And all the kids are just playing. I didn't think anything of this. His mother comes over, who happens to work with special needs kids. She taps me on the shoulder, and she says, you know you have a sensory therapy drum? And I looked at her. I still can't believe I said this. I said, what's that? Mm-hmm. I said, what's that?
Well, you don't know, right?
I had
you
no
don't
idea.
Know what you don't know.
But and this is something that I've come to as a philosophy on my show. I'm here to help this world. That's what I'm here to do. My purpose is to help this world connect. I didn't know that I was inventing something to help special needs people, but my true intention to life is to help people. So unintentionally, I created the most powerful sensory therapy drum on the planet to help people with special needs. I didn't even know about that. I didn't think about that, but it happened organically.
So is there such a thing as a sensory therapy drum before the beat seat?
Yes, there were. Oh. There's lots of drums. There's lots of instruments they consider sensory. What makes the beat seat sensory and extremely powerful is everywhere you hit it sounds different. And if anyone knows anything about science or sound, every pitch feels different as well. So the vibration of each pitch comes through your body differently. So we have two snares, and when you kick it, you get this really, really low-end bass coming through your body. And when you hit the snare with your feet, you get this whole different feeling coming through your legs and into the core of your body. And we've found from music therapists that are already using it that they're seeing extreme results, not just like minor results. There was one child who would never sit during an entire lesson. The moment they introduced the beat seat, he sits the entire time and plays.
That's
they
fabulous.
Never saw that before. They're like, as long as he's not hurting anybody, let him run around. The beat seat comes into play. He's sitting there playing it the whole lesson. And that's something. You can't look away from that. You can't look away. So this is where my wife gets involved. We're at this party, and this child goes from being anxious and mm-hmm. scared in the corner of the, literally, he was in the corner, like terrified, to smiling and having fun, playing, kicking the beat seat.
Great.
And there's the gig box at the time. And my wife looked at me, and she goes, I can't believe you created this. She said, we got to get this out there. Mm-hmm. And from that moment on, she works as hard as I do at Real Estate, Real Talk, and Beat Seat at the Beat Seat. And that's why everything that's happening, that's why you're here today, it's because of Laura. She really is just, she believes in this product. And when I hear her speak to people about it, it's almost like I'm speaking to them. That's exactly what sounds. She's as passionate as I am about it. It's amazing. It really is.
So I understand that you have different materials. You make the Beat Seat out of different materials, and that gives a different sound.
Yeah, well, we actually make it's all wood, but it's different sizes of wood.
Okay.
And it's the shape, really, that provides the different tones. Oh. And I think, again, I'm not a scientist, but I think what I did is I created almost like, someone mentioned this to me, it's almost like when you go to a concert and you're in that auditorium, it's shaped almost like an auditorium. So the sound echoes inside of the chamber and then pushes out the back. They said, wow, you almost created like an auditorium effect for your beat seat. And I was like, wow, maybe that's where all the tones come from. Everywhere you hit it feels and sounds different. So it could be because of my angle.
Okay.
So do you feel like your background as a builder and a musician
right.
came together to
create this new
special.
Invention.
I wonder if it was just my ability to try to build things because I have a father who's mm-hmm. got contractors. Mm-hmm. Like my first beat seats, I actually had one of his carpenters help me build. At the time, I wasn't confident enough to do it. So I drew out the plans. And I said, hey, can you help me do this? Mm-hmm. And the first iteration was square.
Okay.
And when I sat on it, my legs were like this. And I was like, this isn't going to work. And then I started saying, okay, I got to make it a little bit. So the idea is it's 12 inches at the back. At the front, 7.5. So it's tapered.
Yeah.
And so your legs are really very much like you'd be sitting in this, if you had that perfect chair. And someone we went to the NAMM show, we were selected Editor's Choice this year. And they said, you know, to buy a comfortable guitar chair is like $150, $200. I said, geez, to buy a beat seat is $300. So you're paying $100 for the first drum for guitar players and $200 for a seat. If you
so
want to think about it that
way.
Where's
the drum part? It's the sides?
The whole thing is a drum.
The whole thing?
So the way it works is...
No matter where you kick it?
Yeah. Yes. So it's the way it's designed is because it comes through your legs, I'm lefty, so when I mm-hmm. kick the left side, I get my bass, and I have a snare on the right side, so when I kick it, it sounds like a snare.
Oh my
it's like
gosh.
Boom, snap, boom, boom, snap. It sounds like a real drum kit. It's just my feet, though.
Mark, we have to come back with a beat seat so you can play it for us on your podcast.
We should do that.
So tell me, where can people get the beat seat? Like, is it like online? Did they buy this? Or
you can get to it through our website. Beatseat.rocks is where you can buy it currently. You can go to New Canaan Music. They have one. There's one down at Brent's Music in Naples, Florida, Fort Myers, Florida.
Ah.
And we have one going out to Long Island soon. We have a couple companies that want to take it. Greenwich Music said they'd like one, so I just have to bring one down to them. So we're kind of starting small, but we need to get some more.
Yeah, we
so
need to get
you
to
Nashville.
Focusing
on that? musicians or the therapy?
Here's the interesting thing. I have the better result with music therapists, and Laura is killing it with the musicians. And it's weird because I'm the musician. I mean, she's a musician too, but like I was a professional musician, and it's like I have a hard time connecting with people who are playing music, where she's just like everyone's connecting with her on LinkedIn. And so I'm pushing more on the music therapy side.
Okay.
And still reaching people, like, because our BeatSeat page on Instagram, I get a lot of musicians checking it out. But I think we have to figure out, maybe this is something you could help me with, trying to get them from viewer to buyer is an interesting, you know, because right now a lot of people are still looking at it and thinking it's like the Cajon. They don't understand that it's a Cajon on steroids.
Right. So I used to work in the food industry, going to my background. And in the food industry, people love to try. So they have to hear, they have to smell, they have to try, right? So they have to, so you need to get it around to lots of places, which is why I say we need to run the podcast and have people actually hear the difference.
That's true.
Right?
Because
it's not just telling the story and getting the testimonial. It really is music as well as food really trying that product.
Very interesting. And, you know, I've heard that before. It's like you got to see it, feel it, touch it. You know what I mean? You got to get,
right.
You know, and especially when you're in the room with this, it sounds totally different than when you're hearing it online. And the room shakes. The bass is so deep on a BeatSeat. The room shakes. And I'm saying to people, you're not getting that. Like, I'm multi-tracking, so you're hearing the tones, but you're not feeling how deep and powerful that bass is. To your point, if you're sitting in a room, you'd be like, I think I need one of those.
Yeah.
So you're right. It's got to be, and everybody who sits on one buys one. So your point is right. I got to get more of them out there, so when people feel it, they say, okay, it is just a better mousetrap, and let me make sure.
Yeah, you know. Get some more partners out there. Get some friends from all over the country to try it. You know, ship it out and say, hey, look, you know, try it out. Try it as a sensory therapy percussion instrument, as well as, you know, ask musicians to give it a try.
Well, I would also just think creating little videos and posting those.
That we've got tons of that. I got tons of videos, but I think you're right. And we actually just hired our first director of sales, or first sales person, but she's our director, and she went to Berklee School of Music, so she's got a connection to every musician.
Yeah.
She's going to
Boston,
I think, this weekend. She's got appointments lined up with tons of different musicians who
Wonderful.
Are very interested already in the BeatSeat. So, and this is what I'm saying is building out. When you start something, you have to be the one who has the light, but then you have to find other people who are inspired by that light and want to add to the fire, you know?
Right.
And when we met Georgetta, we saw that in her. She was like, this product. She's like, I can't believe it didn't exist before, but now that it does, we need to let the world know. And I said, wow, you got to be a part of what we're doing here because you believe, you know? And it starts small. I always say everything in life starts small, but if you don't put that energy and effort into it, it stays small.
Right.
Well, it's great that you were able to find a partner besides your life partner who really believes in what you're doing. So tell us, is this made in America too? Is this one of those made in America products that people can be proud of?
This is actually a made by this guy product.
Ah, there you go.
You might have to scale up a little bit.
Yeah.
We're actually, tomorrow I'm going down to our manufacturer, and but it will stay here in the U.S. In North Carolina, I'm going to see our manufacturer for the first time. I'm going to go over the process, and I think I'll be handing off the reins to them, so I'm no longer building BeatSeats. I'll just be having them factory built, which would be better because then they're exactly the same every time. Right now, what I think is unique about my process is they're hand built by the inventor, and that I think will be worth something one day when they are built in a factory. If the BeatSeat goes where I know it's going, those 50 or 60 that are out there will be worth something. I'm surprised more people aren't ordering from me right now.
Well, they're going to commission you.
They're going to commission. Well, it's funny you say that because I did tell the guy in North Carolina, I said, I still will do custom orders. Like if this goes, if Real Talk goes, if BeatSeat goes, and someone says, hey, I want you to build me a BeatSeat. Sure, it's not going to cost you $500 though.
Yes.
You know?
Hey, your
but
time
I'm happy
is
to
precious,
do it. Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So when you build the BeatSeat, you are actually just building it for yourself to make it better for you. So
for me, originally, yes.
So talk a little bit about how you transitioned from I created something just for me to I'm going to take this out to the world and actually try to promote it to others.
That's a great question because this happened in a pretty quick period of time. But when I first started, it was me, me, me. I was like, look what I could do. I could put on a show all by myself. I played that first show. I kicked on it. I remember that drummer came back for the next show I brought the beat seat at the time. I didn't even have a name, I think. Brought it with me, and he came to the next show. I'm like, hey, you got to check this out. He was like, well, whatever. He didn't even see what it was. He was just like, oh, whatever. Because he had his cajon. I think people just assumed, like, I'll probably just give up. Right. Yeah, they just think I'll give up. Like, everyone else just thinks, oh, okay, just he created something. He'll just throw it in a closet. You'll never see it again. But that's not me. Like, when I do something, there's a reason we have these ideas. There's a reason our intuition is speaking to us. And if we don't get up and go and do something, someone else in the universe will take that idea and bring it to life.
Right. So how did it change from the gig box to the beat seat? Yeah.
So we found out, we went to Summer NAMM, and we were selected.
What's that?
Okay, Summer NAMM is the National Association of Music Merchants. Okay. And basically any new product, any guitar company, any drum company in the world, Gibson Guitars, Martin, they all go to this event. It's twice a year. There's one in January, one in June. And we decided this past year to go to the June one, which is the Summer NAMM. And it costs a ton of money to do these things, but we're like, we got to get to Summer NAMM. So we go down there, and we have this small booth, three beat seats, three gig boxes, and we get down there, and we get selected editor's choice. And in the same, like within a day, we find out from our attorney, she says, someone has a trademark on gig box. And I'm like, what? She goes, yeah, someone has a trademark on gig box. And in fact, they pulled it this year. And I'm like, so obviously they saw me out there doing, I'm pushing. They saw, and they're like, we got to get this trademark before this guy does it. They pull the trademark. Mm-hmm. That day, my wife and I say, okay, we have to come up with a new name. Everyone's distraught. I even heard from my parents. They said, you must be so upset. I said, why? That tells me that the gig box wasn't the right name. Like, I was not upset about it at all. In fact, I was actually thrilled to know that I have something new to create for this product. And we went, it's an interesting thing. We had someone we met at NAMM came up with the name Beat Seat. We had somebody from Gibson, actually, that we were talking to try to show this idea to, became friendly with us. He loves the product. He's like, hey, how about Beat Seat? How about Seat Beat? He came up with like 30 names. We went through it and we passed them out to a few people, just kind of friends, family, say, what do you guys think of this? And I think my brother-in-law was like, Beat Seat, it's a wrap. I was like, what? He goes, that's it. He goes, don't even think about another name. And I was like, Beat Seat seems kind of hokey. He goes, Mark, you need a name that explains your product. He said, what do you have? What is Gigbox? I said, well, it's a drum you could go out and play shows with. He goes, yeah, but you invented a sensory therapy drum. You didn't know that when you came up with Gigbox. I said, what is Beat Seat? I said, well, if I'm someone with a sensory child, someone who has an autistic child, and I hear someone say, hey, you should buy the Gigbox, I'd be like, what? But if I hear someone say, you should buy the Beat Seat, immediately I'm interested. What is the beat seat? I have a child who has a sensory issue. What is the beat seat? It sounds very interesting. Mm-hmm. So name means everything. And I wasn't discouraged. I was so thrilled to know I had to come up with something new. And it was just an exciting couple of days. And then the changeover is always interesting.
So, you know, we have seen also in research that one of the key things that holds back that second stage entrepreneur is confidence, a lack of confidence of really pushing forward. Partly, I think, as you referenced, there's a lot of money up front, and you have to be really committed. How did you overcome that? It's worth this investment, so I'm going to go for it.
Well, I think you have to tell yourself in life, you have two options. You either continue on the path you're on, or you do whatever you have to make your life better. And I think most people are afraid to do that because the comfort of a 9-to-5, of a paycheck on a week-to-week basis is very hard to walk away from. It's very hard for someone to say, okay, I'm gonna put myself at risk. I got a family. I have people relying on me. And I'm going to put myself at risk, put my family at risk to try something new. But your intuition is telling you that for a reason. It's trying to lead you to a new life, to a better life. It's trying to find you something I talk about all the time in the show. We each have a unique genius within us. One thing, maybe more, but one thing we do better than everybody else. And the thing is, most of us never find it. And a lot of people sit on their deathbed miserable because they never found that thing within them that they all have. We all have it. I'm not any more special than you. We all have this one thing that we can do that no one else in the world can do. And maybe they could do it, but just not as good. And you will never find it unless you try a million things.
Well, that's a good lead into one of the reasons why we started stage two was because people are, when they retire, they're sometimes a little bit complacent, right? They're satisfied with their life. They go on vacation. They take care of their grandkids. If they have grandkids, if they're lucky enough to have grandkids, they watch the stock market go up and down. They do some traveling. They play some sports. But sometimes they have something they were really passionate about, either earlier in their life or as they've lived through their life, they found that there's some injustice they want to right. There's something different that they want to try. And they just don't have that extra push.
Yeah.
And what Stage 2 Startups does is we help push them. We help motivate them. We help provide the training that will allow them to actually become entrepreneurs. A lot of that doesn't happen because most entrepreneurial programs are focused on young millennials. And the way we teach is different. So we teach using exercises. We teach slightly different because we know our audience is different. And we also have these great motivational events like the one you're going to be coming to on November 21st at the COSCOP Library, because on that day we're going to have five very different entrepreneurs come and talk about their experience being founders. You and Laura, Dean Gamanos, who has a passion for wine that he's created now, the Greenwich Wine Society, for almost 20 years. But originally he was an ad man from New York working at Y&R, Young and Rubicon, and then he started his own agency, and then he decided he liked drinking. So now he has the Greenwich Wine Society. And we have Rafael Borja, who is the chairman of Sophia. Sophia is an educational empowerment platform that teaches homeless women to actually train other people to speak English. International
amazing,
students.
Amazing, amazing business.
Yes,
absolutely.
And then we have Felicia Rubenstein from The Haven, who is operating a women-centered co-working space right down the road in Darien, Connecticut. So we have four fabulous businesses, five wonderful entrepreneurs who will be sharing their life experience with people who come. And you're going to learn from each other. That's what we always find.
And this is open to the public as well,
it's
correct?
It's absolutely open to the public. In order to sign up, you have to go. I suggest going to stage2startups.org. That's the easiest way. And then it will lead you to a link where they can sign up. But it's a fabulous opportunity for entrepreneurs to meet with each other, to network with each other. You never know who the other entrepreneur knows.
Absolutely.
You never know what opportunities they can present to you.
Absolutely.
So that's why we do it.
And in the meantime, we also launched the blog, Startups by Grownups, to help inspire the entrepreneur by seeing others like you, like some of these other people Betty talked about, really encapsulating their life story, some of the key things that they've learned, their themes, because we want to create that community. As Betty mentioned, there's very little support for the older entrepreneur. And we want to create that support through these types of events, through being able to read the blog and hearing and learning what other people have gone through the tools and resources we've found and created for them, to just help these people succeed. Because to your point, people have great ideas. And if there's anything I found, there are amazing people out there with amazing ideas. And to be able to help people bring that to life by giving them the tools and support would be just a wonderful thing to be able to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I want to just add one more thing. On November 26th in New York City, we actually have an event where we're going to be presenting information on how to get funding.
Oh, wow.
So I know, Mark, you're not at that stage yet, but you might be at that stage sometime in the near future if you're all successful, which is to help raise more investors for your business. So we have two investors coming who are representing different entrepreneurial investment groups, and three entrepreneurs who have raised money or are in the process of raising money. So they're all going to share their experience, the investors, in terms of what they expect from the entrepreneurs, and the entrepreneurs themselves will share their experience about raising money, what it's like to actually be in that process.
I will be there. I will be there for that one for sure. Because if you're looking to be an entrepreneur, or you are an entrepreneur, you need to educate yourself. You need to go out there to these events, network. I'm going to be there on the 21st to go and say a few things, but I can't wait to meet some of the people that are there to just hear what we have to say and see where that goes. You guys don't understand that every moment of your life could lead you somewhere. You just have to be open to it.
Well, I think you are actually had the great story of you don't know where the connections are going to happen.
Yeah.
Yours happened at your child's birthday party.
Yeah.
And if you're not out there talking to people about what you're doing and what you're achieving, putting it out there, you're not going to find those connections.
Absolutely. And, you know, I just want to share because we should probably – you guys aren't in any rush, are you? Do you guys have to go anywhere currently? Because I think we should still do Instagram as well, at least for a few minutes to get a couple.
Okay, sure.
Because we've been on here on Facebook for a while. I don't know who's watching. But I did want to say one thing we were talking about earlier, which was when you are an inventor, when you have a good idea, it could be discouraging. But just remember, it's a great idea to you, and you still have no idea what it is. You still have no idea the impact of that idea, how big that idea is. It's just a spark. And you have to follow that spark because that spark will become a fire. And if you really follow it, it will grow. It will become a forest fire. And you all of a sudden you'll realize, you look back and say, it was a spark. I didn't even know what I had. But it was so big. That spark was massive. And you still had no idea how big it was. So just remember, you got to go after it to truly understand what you've created. You will not know until you go. That's it.
Thank you.
So, listen, I'm heading over to Instagram with the ladies. We're going to do a little real talk over there. I appreciate you guys. Whoever tuned in, thank you so much. Please share this message. On the 21st, we'll be doing that panel. And then
on the 26th, November 26th in New York City, there's a panel on how to raise money for your startup. So go to stage2startups.org and come join us.
And in
come
the meantime, join us. Check out Startups by Grownups.
Startups by Grownups. That's right, guys. We'll see you there on the 21st for that. I'll see you tomorrow on the next Real Talk. It's Mark Pyers.
Look how the open road affects us.
And it's Real Talk. This is my song. It's Wednesday. It's Mark Pyers. It's Real Talk.
I was walking down the road today, looking for another way
to ease my mind and help my living. It's Real Talk. It's Mark Pyers. I'm here with you on day 317 in a row of Mark Pyers Real Talk, and we have an extremely special episode today. I told you guys about this yesterday. What Betty did here is she started Stage 2 Startups, and it's to try to put a spotlight on older entrepreneurs, people in their 30s and 40s who maybe say they have an idea and they want to try, but they're really not that confident about the idea of doing it. And they're here to support people who want to bring something to market in their 30s and 40s. So I'm very much looking forward to hearing their perspective today on Instagram. And let's get into it.
Thanks, Mark. Okay, so Stage 2 Startups was created to help entrepreneurs, people in their 30s to their 80s. I was told by one of my entrepreneur friends who was in her 80s that we cannot neglect people in their 80s or 90s to become founders of either nonprofits, social impact nonprofits, or for-profit companies. And we found that in our research that a lot of entrepreneurs have no idea where to get help. A lot of older people feel intimidated going to colleges with millennials to learn about entrepreneurship. And we found that there's actually no place in America that is focusing on this area. So we decided to start stage2startups.org and also our Startups by Grownups blog to share the message that it's okay to be an entrepreneur. I have my fellow co-writer here, Emily Smith, and she's going to mention a little bit about our blog. And then we're going to come and talk to Mark about his startup.
So Startups by Grownups, and you can find that by going to grownupsstartups.blog.
Home.blog.
Home.blog, thank you. Really focuses on a variety of entrepreneurs. We go out and we interview people like Mark, who have a great idea, and they've taken that leap of faith and gone off and created it. And we really are trying to help inspire, support, and create the community for every older entrepreneur who wants to start a business and become a founder. And we have found there are amazing people all over this country who are doing wonderful things and have insights to share and to really help others like them succeed. So we hope you check it out. We have great stories, great tools and resources really designed to help you, the older entrepreneur, take that idea to reality.
So I want to ask Mark, who is an entrepreneur as well as a Berkshire Hathaway real estate agent, how he balances becoming a real estate agent and then becoming an entrepreneur and being a dad on the side. Are you a dad on the side, or can you tell us what is it like to juggle all of those activities and be a podcaster?
Overwhelming.
When do you sleep?
I have a lot of energy. No, you know what it is? I work this way. I think that some people are built a certain way. I just happen to be someone who thrives when you put something in front of me. And I would say, and I talked about this on Facebook as well, you know, comfort is a very, very, I think it's a terrible thing, because people get comfortable and then they start, you know, they're afraid to do anything. As soon as you start feeling like things are okay, like, oh, I'll just deal with it, this is my life, you're afraid to get out of that. And I wanted to just talk about something you mentioned on your intro. You said about when you're starting something, especially my age, starting something out, creating something from scratch, from zero. We started with 30 followers here on Instagram on December 31st. We're up to 2,100 and change. But from 30 followers to theirs, this is a long 317 days. And what I find very interesting is maybe 310 of those 317, I felt no support. Like, I'm just here doing it. I'm just here doing it, right? In fact, I say this a lot. I hear so much noise around me. People saying, what's Mark doing? Like, what is he, every day? Okay, we get it, buddy. We get, like, you hear a lot of stuff like that. Like, those are people who want you to stop because you're doing something that they just do not have the heart to try. And whether they like it or not, you're doing something. Respect that someone is trying, whether you like it or not. They are going out and putting themselves out there. And so I think that's the first thing people need to realize, is you have to be willing to put yourself out there and say to yourself, everyone may hate it. They may all hate it, but it's going to make my soul happy. That's what matters, is your, what makes you happy. Not what Betty thinks of my idea, what Emily thinks of my idea. It's that I gave that idea a shot. I lived. You get one life. Go out and live it. Don't stop yourself just because someone has something to say about your idea. They don't get your idea. I say this too a lot. Like, nobody knows what you've created. You're the only one who invented it. How do you expect them to get it? It took 50 billion years for that idea to come into your head. Why are you going to get upset because Betty doesn't understand your idea? You haven't explained it properly. You have to figure out how to explain it to the world. That's where I'm at right now. I'm trying to figure out.
You have to look past those people, but there'll always be who will say, oh, you're crazy.
Yes,
and,
yes,
and
look past
push
them.
That forward, because then you, probably, I think you do find, there's lots of people out there who do get it,
yes,
and do want to help you. So you just have to move past.
Find your partners.
Find your partners. Past those who don't get it. And find those who do.
I always say to people, you should love when someone tells you that you don't have something good or that they don't like your product, because you know that's not your partner. You're trying to figure out, I want as many no's as possible. I want to hear a no from everybody so I know when we do get there that that person wasn't my partner. Now they want to be my partner because I got there? No. You said no originally, but that person didn't. You know, I figured out who all my partners were in the process. You know, everyone's trying to get through the process. Enjoy the process. Enjoy figuring out who your real partners and friends are.
That's a really good point.
So, Mark, tell me about your partner, your life partner, who's also your business partner. What is that like?
Well, that is, I got to say, it's one of the greatest experiences in the world to go into this business with my wife, because you want to find people you could trust, first of all. And that's the ultimate, your spouse. And when you could find someone who's passionate about your product as well, it's like twofold. So I've got that. It's, the balance is a very interesting thing because we have three kids. My wife takes care of those three kids. I am pushing to create income for that family. And right now she's doing her part with the Beat Seat to try to create additional income, some, you know, supplemental income, so to speak. But the struggle of three kids who need to go places, mm-hmm. they need to get to school, they need to get picked up from school. She does everything. And then she's doing the laundry. Then she's cleaning the house. And so her balance is insane. My balance of doing real estate, real talk, Beat Seat building, et cetera, is insane. But it works. I would say we're at a point in our lives where our children can take care of themselves, except for the youngest. She's still kind of figuring things out. But the other two are sort of on their way, and we're able to at least parse off a part of ourselves in order to focus on Beat Seat. The fact that she's pushing when I can't think about it is huge.
So tell us, what is Beat Seat? Does everyone on your Instagram know Beat Seat? Or
They should. I've been live on it every Friday through Sunday since December 31st. So I'll tell you the breakdown of this, because we didn't get into how this all came about.
Yes.
All right. So because we got into a lot on Facebook. Mm-hmm. But this is a podcast, so it's all going to be one. We're going to tie it all together into one long podcast. So December 31st, we're going to go to how Real Talk. Yeah, this is how Real Talk came about. So I was at my old office, Coldwell Banker. I'm sitting at my desk, and I was in the front corner of the office. I had my own space, which was great. I was there for about 9 years. And I went live, and I had this thought come over me. I said, you know, last year was okay. Like, I had an okay last year, but the year before was, like, really good. And I was like, well, what was different? Well, the year before, I did some video. I was like, I did a lot more video. I did walkthroughs of properties. So I was like, you know, it's December 31st. I'm just going to go on and remind people I'm a realtor. Let me go on there and tell people, hey, guys, when you go to buy and sell real estate, just remember that that's what I do. And then the second day I came on, it was January 1st. No one's in the office again. I'm there. I'm usually the only one there, you know, especially on the weekends. And I go to the office January 1st, and I said, all right, it's the first day of the year. Can you believe my services are free? That was the real talk of the second day was, as a realtor, everything I do for you, I don't get paid for until I trade something for you. So why would you not hire a buyer agent? Because it's free, you know? And so that was my real talk. And then I think that's when my brother or someone said, you know, you can't go live every day. Like, no one wants to see you every day. And when he said those words to me, I said, I'm going live every day. And I don't care if everybody wants to see me every day. Because you told me that, I'm going live. don't tell me I can't do something, because then I'm going to have to do it, you know? So I started it, and Real Talk was about 7, maybe 10 days in. At the end of my talk, I just said, guys, and this is real. I said, this is Real Talk. And I was like, that's the show. It's Real Talk. And then we start moving, and about
inspired.
And about 4 months in, I start realizing that I'm not getting any support from my manager. In fact, he's like ignoring that I'm doing this every day for 4 months. I'd have just hit over 100 days, maybe 100, and no likes, no like, hey, Mark, good job, keep going, nothing. And I started saying to myself, why am I at a place that's not supporting what I'm doing? So I start interviewing around. And when I met with Gene here, I had another firm that was talking about building something for me to do this. And when I sat down and explained what I'm doing, she watched, and she goes, I know what you're doing. She goes, it's a soft sell. She goes, you're not even talking about real estate. You're talking about connecting with people, talking about being good to people. And guess what that does? And in time, people will say, well, when I buy, I want to buy with the guy who's being honest with me and not the guy who I don't know. So she saw it as soft sell type of thing. She goes, look, I want you to come work at Berkshire. In fact, I'll build you a studio so you can go live anytime you want. You could do Real Talk anytime you want. And when she said anytime you want, I was like, where do I sign? Where do I go? I was like, because I will go, I'm always live. Like, I will go live. You remember that movie, EdTV?
Yes.
I would do that. Okay. You got a camera crew, let's go all day, you know. But so basically, I went from this being in this office, mm-hmm. and I'm sitting, here's another funny thing. I'm sitting through the wall right behind me, there's people at the old firm, so I could hear them talking.
And in fact, you're recording.
As I'm live. And in fact, one of the guys there tried to steal my concept like a week after. He's like, I'm going to do it too. And he started one too. And I'm like, so that guy's sitting right through the wall listening to me talk. And so I was very uncomfortable when I was first doing the show. Now I'm here 317 days in, and we're in a studio. I could shut that door and be completely alone with the people of this world. And it all happened because I was willing to take a risk to be able to go every day and to start something that didn't exist, the Real Talk Show.
And so, you found the believer, the partner here at Berkshire.
Exactly.
And I love that idea of, like, why stay in a spot where you're not getting the support?
Exactly.
Go find that place that gets it and wants to make it successful.
Yeah, absolutely. And she could see that this could be something. I mean, my vision for Real Talk is when people out here online want to buy. Do I have a charger? I thought I had a charger. Oh, I do. Hold on, guys. Don't go anywhere. I'm going to make sure we don't run out of power here. Let's see what this does. That should work. Are we good? Okay, we're charging.
Okay.
So where was I? What were we saying?
About finding that place that supports your mm-hmm. idea. Looking
yes.
past those people that
yes.
are not well, there.
And here's the thing. I was comfortable there. That's the other thing. I try to say, the only thing that pushed me out the door was realizing I wasn't getting the support on the manager level. But I loved the people there. I loved all the other colleagues I was working with. It was a good work environment. So, and this is something I remember this is the last day I was at Coldwell Banker. I did an open house at a property I have in the market right now. This is a piece of business that came through Coldwell Banker. I had to leave with Coldwell Banker. Big piece of business. I'll show it to you later. It's in Greenwich, Connecticut. Gorgeous contemporary home on a pond. Mm. And I had to walk away from a $1.5 million listing, a little over $1.5 million, to come here. All right. And I remember that conversation with the owners. I said, look, I love working with you guys. I love this property. I want to sell this property. But if I don't leave Coldwell Banker today, I'll be here in 5 years. I said, if I don't walk out the door today as my final day, I'll still be here in 2-3 years. I have to go.
So and it's a major leap of faith for you.
Leap of faith. And they looked at me and they said, we understand. They said, we want you to find happiness. Go do what you did. And then here's the best part. I walked away from that business. I left it on the table and I told them, I'm sorry, I have to go. A week later, I got a phone call from them. And they said, we're walking away from our benefits from USAA. We want to continue to work with you. They walked away from a lot of money to continue working with me.
Wow.
And I never would have known how much they valued my service if I wasn't willing to stand up and to believe in my own value by walking out that day. And so I just think it's leaps of faith. Every single thing in your life is a leap of faith. You don't know what, something I said the other day that I think is kind of interesting. Every day is a surprise. We don't know what we're going to get today. We don't know if we wake up and we're going to get something great or if it's going to be a horrible day. We don't know if a door is going to get slammed in our face or if it's going to be a door open to wealth and riches that we've never known. But you can't do it unless you smile and you're ready to go. You got to be ready to take every opportunity and keep those eyes open.
I really love that comment where you have to say you have to believe in your own value.
Yes.
We find a key thing that holds the older entrepreneur back is that lack of confidence of, you know, really believing in themselves. And I think you really hit the core. You have to believe in yourself and take that leap and
Absolutely.
Follow that dream.
Absolutely, yeah. You have to believe in yourself and believe in that product, that vision. You know, and if remember, if you don't, who's going to believe in it? If you don't believe in it first, you're not going to inspire anybody else to believe. That's the most important thing. People don't realize. When you see that little spark, we were talking about sparks earlier, but when you see something and that little buzz inside of your heart says, ooh, there's like a flutter. It's like a flutter inside of you when you see something amazing. When I thought of the Beat Seat the first time, like I just had this like spark in my mind of a million different things came about. Like it's not one thing. You see a million things at once and then you know you have something. You know you have something.
Right. So when you started the Beat Seat, you said it was because your partner didn't show up and he was a drummer.
Correct,
and you,
yeah.
you recognized the need. So inherently, what you're trying to do is fulfill a need that you had, but then you discover more needs in
yes.
terms of the sensory therapy. Tell us a little bit about the evolution and also about your builder family, because I think that also played a role. Yeah.
Yeah, I would say the evolution of an idea is a very, very important subject. And we talked about it earlier. I talk about it often on the show, but in general, your idea is just that. It's just the beginning. It's the very, very beginning. Like your idea is just your intuition saying, okay, now you got to go explore. Now you got to go and figure out what that thought is because it's just 1% of the 100%. You still have so much more to experience, acknowledge, and then reflect upon because sometimes you're going down the wrong path. I figured that out too. Sometimes I'm thinking something about Beat Seat and then someone says, hey, did you think about this? And I say, no, thank you, because I was thinking this. And thank God somebody opened up their heart and said, hey, Mark, you know what? I think you're on the wrong path here. And we talked about this earlier as well, how an idea is only as good as the people around you and the support you get from them. And I've been getting that from my wife, which is great. But in general, it's, and you mentioned earlier too, there are a lot of supportive people out there. You just have to get through the mess of people that aren't supportive. There's a lot of those. And then you'll find that just like the pick of the litter, a couple of really, really strong people who are going to help you believe in it more.
Right. Actually, Stage 2 Startups has an event next week where you're going to be meeting other entrepreneurs. Entrepreneurship is a very lonely path. So basically, what you need to do is find other like-minded people who potentially are not competing with you to help you on that journey. And what we try to do at Stage 2 Startups is we actually try to bring entrepreneurs together to meet other entrepreneurs, whether that's just to give each other encouragement or to trade ideas or to find out information about funding. So we have an event later on this month where actually have entrepreneurs come in and talk about raising money for their business, as well as investors who believe in entrepreneurs come and talk about what they expect from the entrepreneurs to get their investment dollars. So it's part of this whole community, this ecosystem that we're trying to build with Stage 2 Startups. We look forward to having you be part of that ecosystem. It's so exciting.
I'm so excited for that. And if you're out there right now and you're watching, you're saying, yeah, I want to get into this. I want to figure out where to get funding. I want to figure out how that works. You should come and be a part of this event. You could be in the crowd, listen, and you may actually meet somebody afterwards who can help you with your idea. There will be people there who are actually investing in products and in businesses at this event. And same thing on the 21st. There are going to be people there that could help you if you have an idea, but you won't know unless you come out and you sit down and you listen to what we have to say and then have a chance to network afterwards. It's worth
right.
it.
So you need to go to stage2startups.org and learn more about the events. You need to go to Startups by Grownups, our blog, which is actually grownupsstartups.home.blog. to read the stories about our fascinating entrepreneurs. And we really want to encourage everyone to come and join the community that Mark is talking about. And also to come and try the Beat Seat, because we just got Mark to agree that he's bringing a Beat Seat to the event on November 21st, which will be in the CosCob Library at 6 p.m.
Yeah, you don't want to miss this, guys. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I just wanted to ask you quickly, too, when did you, because I didn't ask you this earlier. You went to Columbia. You got your, did you get your?
Right. Both Emily and I are Columbia Business School alumni.
Okay.
And we actually met a long time ago at our second jobs in our career. And we've kept in touch through her entire family. All her sons have grown up. And I knew her when she had no children. And we used to do things together. So we're doing things together. But we started Stage 2 Startups in 2017 because I read a Wall Street Journal article about what I was supposed to do for the rest of my life, which was retire, watch my stocks, learn to travel, which I love, and take care of my grandkids, which I don't have. And I thought to myself, I like golf, but I do not want to play it for the next 30 years of my life. And my grandmother lived until she was 104. I certainly don't want to spend the next 30, 40, 50 years perfecting my golf swing. So I said I had to find something else to do. And I said, what do I love to do? I love meeting entrepreneurs. I love working with entrepreneurs. I love helping entrepreneurs. So we started Stage 2 Startups to help more people become startup founders. And then we discovered that not a lot of people are helping social impact founders at all. If you want to be a nonprofit founder, there's actually no class that you can find on that unless you're taking a social impact class in college. So we said, all right, we need to change this dynamic. And so that's why we're here. We're spreading the word ourselves, just like Mark says. We're going out on the road to try to help more people. And the only way to do that is to expand from New York to Connecticut, to New Jersey. We've been asked to do something in London. Last week, I was talking to folks in London about doing something in London, in Paris, in Brussels. We've been asked to go to India. We've been asked to go to Dubai. This is a global phenomena.
Well, it ties to what you said. You have a spark, and you don't know. You may have
something amazing.
And we've hit a nerve. There is no support system built for the person who says, I'm done with the first stage of my life.
And I'm going to stage two.
And now I'm going to stage two because I want to be a founder. And we are helping build that community and that support system for these people to succeed.
I love that.
We attended the UN event on the International Day of Older Persons.
The 29th anniversary.
29th anniversary.
Yes.
And they pointed out, they talk about, we have to be preparing for the 100-year life. And that traditional of first you go to school, then you have your career, and then you retire and practice your golf swing. That's done.
That's over.
You have got to rethink how you're going to handle a long lifespan. And that means you're going to do different things at different stages of your life. And this is a great way that you're in a second stage. you're not having to stay home and bake and take care of grandkids. If you have a spark of idea, go do it. And we want to help make that happen.
Well, also, we're an entrepreneurial society now, right? Yeah. It used to be that whole mentality of, okay, work, we got that 9 to 5.
Right.
I got the paycheck every week, and I got my 401k, and then at 65, I retire. But it's all changed, right? I mean, now with society and we have the internet, everybody's thinking differently. But what I think, and the reason why you guys are finding that spark, is you created a solution to the problem. This is what the Beat Seed is. Every invention that hits is a solution to a problem. The best inventions are solutions to problems. You guys have nothing out there that can compete with you currently, so you're creating something. It's a new thing, the Beat Seed. There's never been a drum for guitar players before where it's just like, okay, I can go out and play shows. Solution to problem. And yeah, things take time, but I think the idea is you saw an avenue that didn't exist. And I think that's huge, especially as we were saying, when you are thinking second stage of life and you know you're kind of lack of support, you've got a lot of other responsibility you didn't have when you were in your first stage. And how do you tackle all that? It's good to know you have stage two startups there. They can give you the guidance. They could train you to understand it's okay. They could actually train some confidence into you, because I think that's what you're going to lack to start. That's what you're saying. There's a lot of people start without the confidence. What they need to do is reach out, and then you guys can help them build that up to understand what they have is really something. Again, your intuition's telling you that you have something. It is telling you that. You don't have deaf ears to your intuition. It's there for a reason.
Yes, Mark, also, I wanted to go back to an earlier question I had about the builders in your life, because I know that life experience is really important in leveraging the Beat Seed and leveraging your real estate career. Can you talk a little bit about your family? You shared that, I think, offline when we were in between Facebook and Instagram, but you know that your father's a builder, that your other family members are also in the building industry, and how that impacts your work at Berkshire Hathaway and how that impacted on the Beat Seed.
Well, it's funny. We're going to get into a lot, I guess. So when I worked for my father, I was traveling the country, MTV music artist, and writing music. I think it's funny how you go through stages in life. Everybody does, right? I didn't know I had an artistic ability within me until I was 18 years old. First 18 years of my life, I was into sports, never walked onto a stage until I was in college, didn't pick up my first guitar until I was 18 years old, never even played an instrument until I was 18. And then I wrote 150 songs. And now I'm doing a daily talk show for the rest of my life. But I didn't know that for the first 18 years of my life. Then I go for the next 10 years of my life, and I'm an MTV music artist. I'm writing 150 songs. I'm out there, almost signed a record deal. My wife and I are engaged. We're about to get married 6 months later. And a gentleman from Jive Records says, here's your contract. You have to move to LA. And we get everything. You get nothing. And I'm like, wait, I did all the work. So I'm like, look, you send me something fair, we could talk, but I'm not moving to LA. That was a sticking point. So I just said, okay, we're moving on. We're not doing this. So I decided, and it's funny we talk about this, I decided to walk away from something I was doing for 10 years that I was reaching for to start a family and to get into real estate. And that's interesting. Why would I do that when I was working so hard? Well, because I was in love with my wife. I didn't want to lose my wife.
Right?
Okay, but I made the right decision.
I have my priorities.
Right. That's true. So I made the right decision. I stick with my wife. We get married. And I invented the Beat Seed because of that. If I had took the other road, I go to LA, I sign with a record deal. Anybody who knows anything about musicians, this is the one thing you know. They find a talent, and then they put you around the most amazing band in the world. Great drummer, great keyboard player, everything, so they can make you look even better. I never would have even had the ability to create the Beat Seed because I wouldn't have been in the scenario where right. Tiger didn't show up for that show. So it's like everything happens the way it's meant to happen. Okay, so now I have the next 10 years, MTV, walk away from that. This last 10 years, real estate, focus straight real estate every single day of my life. Now I'm 40, going on 41. I've started the next 10-year cycle, Real Talk.
Absolutely.
Isn't it crazy?
It's going to be a winner.
It's like every 10 years is like a new point of your life. It's opening yourself up to it if you're available to it.
Well, it sounds like in particular you have just kept yourself open to
yes.
opportunities and not closed yourself off. Like you said, you can say, I'm just going to be doing this.
Yes.
You always say, what's out there?
Yeah, because I don't think people realize that we're all focused on yesterday. Everyone's focused on what they can do with tomorrow. No one realizes that the only thing that actually is happening
right
is
now.
This moment. Like, this is it. We get one moment. I talk to these people often. I tell them, guys, you get one day to do something with. And then tomorrow it's a whole new day, but this day is only now. And don't focus too much about that second that you just passed through, because it's going to really, you're going to lose your life. Focus on second by second. Listen to everything going on around you, because there are opportunities everywhere, but you have to be open to them. You have to realize your moments. If you're not living in the moment, you will miss every opportunity. Guaranteed.
Realize your moments.
Yeah, you have to. You have to realize the moment.
Right. So you have to jump on the bandwagon. You have to go to stage2startups.org. You have to sign up for the November 21st event where Mark is bringing his beat seat to show our audience also talk with other entrepreneurs. We have three other companies coming. Dean Gamanos, who has translated his passion for wine into the Greenwich Wine Society. He's going to talk about what that's like to start a wine connoisseur organization, as well as Rafael Borja, who is in an international education empowerment platform. That's a mouthful as it is, but Sophia helps homeless women to teach English to international students. A mind-boggling opportunity. And then also we have Felicia Rubenstein from Darien talk about the founding of a women co-working space called The Haven. So some great entrepreneurs going to share their life experience, their work experience, their startup experience with the audience. And hopefully the entrepreneurs themselves will network with each other and help each other grow their different businesses. And then on November 26th, come to New York, come to Sullivan and Wooster and get to learn what investors are interested in when they talk to entrepreneurs and when they decide which entrepreneurs to invest in. And you'll also hear from some entrepreneurs who will be sharing their fundraising experience and how they actually got the money, who's actually still trying to get money, and some of the ups and downs related to raising money. And we hope that we will see Mark on his seed round, as well as his Series A sometime in the future, because he is expanding Beat Seed on a national level. We have already encouraged him.
I love it.
Yes, we know you'll be at.
I hope so. I really hope so. No, I'm going to be at all these events. And guys, I got to tell you, if you are out there and you're trying to learn more about being an entrepreneur, you need to understand the questions that you need to ask when you're out there and you're meeting someone like Betty. There are questions you need to ask. And I don't know all the questions to ask, but these are things you're going to learn when you go to these events. Is what are the hot button questions that an investor is looking at? And when he sees a product, what is he saying? Yeah, you know what? I got to get into that. Or what's going to push him towards the mountains and say, I'm never going to look at that product? You want to make sure you're getting rid of all your negatives. That's what you have to do when you're a business owner. If you're bringing a product to market, you have to get rid of every negative. You want to get rid of the word no. You don't want people thinking no. You want them saying yes.
And you want to expand your vocabulary to make sure that you're speaking the same language as the investor.
Correct.
The other lasting thing that we want to say is that 52% of all of the people who started businesses in 2017 were people who are 45 and older. That means there's a huge opportunity for people who are now thinking about retirement. What are they going to do in their next stage of life? And if you think that just because you're retired, you shouldn't get off your ass, well, please, 26% of all the very successful startups are created by people over 55. So you have plenty of time.
It's a huge stat. That's a huge stat. You know, and this is the thing. I think we didn't talk about this here on Instagram, but this all became a thing because everybody's all glitz and glamour about the Zuckerbergs of the world. And, ooh, Elon Musk came up with a new thing. I'm like, all right, great. You know, but what about somebody who's hustling through life and just says, look, I'm gonna do something different. I'm going to change my stripes today. I almost would be more impressed by someone doing that than a guy who's 19, 20 years old coming out of college and has a cool idea. Like, that's not that impressive, guys. It's not that impressive to be a 19-year-old and have an idea, because you could fail 50 times before you're 30 and you'll be okay. It's the guy who's 35 and he's got maybe 10 years to try to fail 5 more times. And, you know,
yeah,
I mean, you're starting to run out of time.
You
a lot more risk. It's a lot more risk when you're in your 30s and 40s. And I think, you guys, this is information for you. You have a group here that's providing information to people in their second stage of life looking for support. And you guys know how hard it is to find support when you're an entrepreneur. There is a company that's supporting entrepreneurs. So I hope you'll join us on the 21st. I hope you'll come down to the city on the 26th. I'll be down there. It's actually my brother's birthday. So, he's older. So it's not like we're having a birthday party for him that day. So, but I will be down there for that because I'm great. Very much looking forward to how do I expand Beat Seat from a mom and pop to being a national, then a global company. And honestly, it's daunting. That's a scary thought for me to think that it's just Laura, myself, and Georgetta right now. And we want to build it out to be hundreds, thousands of people eventually worldwide pushing this product. That's a very daunting thing for me to be thinking about, but that's why I need to come to these events in order to learn more about the process.
Emily and I have both worked in marketing teams for big, giant Fortune 500 companies, and we'd be delighted to help you. And we have plenty of friends who are out there who can help make those connections.
Amazing.
So
amazing.
We're looking forward to seeing you on the 21st and the 26th and in all the future Stage 2 Startup events.
Very, very cool. Well, guys, we really appreciate you being with us today. I'll see you tomorrow on the next Real Talk. I may be back later. You never know. It's Mark Fiers. And it's Real Talk. Ladies, you're the best.
Thank you.
Oh, that was
so
much fun.
I was walking out on the road today, looking for another way to ease my mind and help my living.